Welcome back to another episode of Sports Castle. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jared.
This week in the Newcastle and Hunter Sport,
storm warning forecast is off the mark.
Local cricket returns with tons of fun.
Jets shoot down Wanderers.
Everything's coming up, Cordner.
Country Eagles slump out of finals calculations.
All that and more in Newcastle and Hunter Sport. Well, mate, we've made it. Episode 34, another week ahead of us. Plenty happening. I thought it was going to quieten down a bit, but there's plenty to talk about, mate.
There is, mate. There is all sorts of controversies on the page, mate.
Oh, mate,
ruffled a few feathers.
The page is livened up. There's some people taking a bit of offence to some teams we've named. And yeah, it's interesting, mate. The Newcastle and Rugby League one, which we'll get to in a little bit, really just exploded, which is great. It's great to see so many people enthusiastic and passionate about the local footy, but we might start off with the NRL, mate. You were down there at the big dance on Sunday. I don't know how early you got down there. Did you catch any of the earlier games?
No, we got there around the time, which Big Al was excited about when the women's players from the Broncos were paraded around the field for their earlier game. He was very happy about that, but
yeah, he would have loved it.
We missed the...
Was there any girls with similar rigs to Big Al?
Well, there was a couple.
Oh, he would have been right in his element. Speaking of the women's game, that was the first one of the day, mate. The Broncos 34, the Roosters 12. The Broncos were runaway winners of the competition, minor major premiers. Kimiora Nati was the Karen Murphy medal winner with a hat trick. Not bad in the grand final.
The question I had was, is it player of the match or woman of the match for the...
Well, they're all player of the match now, mate. You got to be, you know...
Yeah. No, someone in the crowd was asking.
Can you specifically identify that they are a woman? Like, you know, you're allowed to do that. You can't just presume because they're playing a women's competition. Look at that.
The AFL person in the AFL,
yeah. Anyway.
So they were undefeated, the five undefeated, games they played?
Four games. Well, they beat everyone in the comp, mate. That's all they could do. You only beat the teams that are put in front of you, so... Look, hopefully it expands and builds up for a little bit more. But, yeah, look, I think it was a reasonable success. It's never going to rival the NRL, a bit like the Women's Big Bash. It's a good complementary product, but as long as they don't start to try and level it up on par like they've done with the tennis and things. And,
yeah.
Mate, great opportunity for young girls if they want to play rugby league, as far as I'm concerned.
Channel 9's looking for something at 9:30 on a Thursday night, mate. Maybe they could slot in the match of the round there instead of the footy show.
Yeah, well, that's all right, mate. Paint drying, I'd be more keen to watch after the path they'd gone down with that. Just bring back Sterlo stuffing chilies in his mouth. It's brilliant. Bring back the Chief.
Actually, while we're on the women's, well done to Hannah Southwell. I believe she's been named in the Gillaroo squad, mate.
She has indeed, test. Mate. Yeah. So there's a couple of Newcastle girls as well. Isabel Kelly, I think, and there's one other whose name escapes me, but that will make her... But she will have played in the Australian women's side for rugby union, I believe.
Yep.
Rugby league now, allowing that she gets on for the Gillaroos. And she also played, I think it was under 19s for the Matildas.
So what's next, mate?
Badminton.
Pioneer.
Yeah, she's the second coming of Elise Perry, mate. Yeah, well, anyway... moving on, mate, the second game of the day, did you catch any of the state championship game or not at all?
I just saw some highlights on the big screen, mate.
Yeah, so the Bulldogs, convincing winners. Third year in a row, the New South Wales team has beaten, so the Intrust Super Premiership team has beaten the Intrust Super Cup team. So for the old fans, New South Wales Cup beating Queensland Cup. 42-18, plenty of try scorers, but, mate, the highlight for mine was conversion by none other than Greg Eastwood from out wide.
Yeah,
mate.
Nice.
They gave him a bit of a farewell conversion. I think it was the second last one. He slotted it straight over the black dot. So I didn't see too much of it. Similarly, so I just watched the highlights. I was out and about for that one and missed a lot of the game, but made sure I was back at home to enjoy the dismantling of the Storm.
Yes.
So, mate, let's break it down. The Roosters, they played close to the perfect half of football in the first half. They led 18-0 at half time. Melbourne looked out of sorts. They looked nervous almost, which is a really odd thing to consider when you look at how experienced they are, mate. I don't know whether people felt the pressure to try and perform and send Billy out on the right note or what it was, but a 12-man Roosters outfit basically. Like, there was a couple of times there. There was one, I think you and I were talking during the game. Nelson Asafa-Solomona dropped the ball. if you watch the replay, you actually see Cooper Cronk. He's running at Cooper Cronk. And Cooper Cronk's backpedaling out of the line, and the defence is trying to close in front of him. And Nelson's talking about Solomona. Basically, there's a hole opening there. Like, obviously, Melbourne are trying to channel footy at Cronk. And, you know, we now know that it wasn't just a rotator cuff. It was a 15-centimetre fracture in his scapula, which is no mean feat to get out in the field, let alone to get through the majority of the game. But, yeah, they just look nervous, your boys.
Yeah, I think they might have played their game before the game, mate. But, yeah, they weren't very good. But, yeah, hats off to the Roosters. They were definitely a lot better, and they were, I'd say, well coached. Robinson had them peaking at the right time, and it all just fell their way, mate. Everything they did, like every bloke that took a hit up, fell on his chest. You know, Melbourne were getting driven.
I don't know. That's falling your way, though. That's just being up for the moment, like you say. I think
it's a lot like Melbourne. Reminded me a bit of Maitland in the rugby. How every time they got half a chance, they just had an error or made a mistake, and Melbourne just couldn't.
That was the first time I reckon the Maitland Blacks have been compared to the Melbourne Storm, but righto. So tries in the first half to Tupou, Latrell and Joseph Manu. They were absolutely on fire. Latrell ended up with one of three conversions from those, and he'd also kicked a penalty goal in the first half. As I said, 18-0. The Storm actually won the second half 6-3.
Wow.
But again, they didn't look to threaten. I think they really lacked that dominant half as well. They didn't look to threaten. Cameron Munster's mind was not on the game. I can completely understand the first sim inning. He pretty much had to do it, otherwise they give away a try anyway. Admittedly, they then let in a try, but you got to take that chance in that scenario in a big game where that game was at that point, knowing that they're likely to take the two there, which they did. But the second one, well, we'll get onto that in a moment. As I said, the Storm, an intercept try, Addo Carr runs away, Smith converts it, a penalty, and then a field goal to Keary. Wrap it up, 21-6. If you had said to me last week the Roosters would have won this by 13+, I would have told you I'd eat my hat. But, right, well-deserved champions. Clive Churchill medal went to Luke Keary, who I thought was hands down the best on ground for them. Played as a half on both sides, covering for Cronk, who obviously sat in the back a little bit. And I think we talked about it again during the game. Jake Friend played probably one of the better attacking games I've ever seen him play. And Manu, we talked about as well, was absolutely on fire. So I wouldn't have been outraged to have seen either Manu or Friend get the Clive Churchill.
Yeah.
So, but
Mitchell ate Chambers for breakfast, mate.
Well, it's interesting to see now with obviously Mitchell took Chambers' spot essentially, but then when Inglis got scratched, I thought Chambers might have been a shot, and Dane Gagai's been parachuted in. So. Mate, there was a few other things that added to Melbourne's woes. I think there's a few brain snaps. Like, there's a few of the boys that just weren't on their game, I don't think.
Billy.
Billy trying to milk that penalty. Probably 5 times out of 10 he gets that one. But because of the occasion, they really took the time to look at it, slow it down.
They got the decisions right.
I know you were frustrated at the time about the knees, and you probably had only seen one quick replay at the ground.
It's hard to see where I was.
And that wasn't far away. It didn't need to be done. It's just silly, but that's a whole other thing. It's not to say that if you try to leap over in the play, Addo Carr doesn't try to stand up at the same time and got boot in the head or something. But Munster, mate, let's get onto that one. Absolutely no excuse. There's no way of saying he's trying to step anywhere else. He is a very lucky man to have copped a small fine and not be missing test match football because of that. When you look at, what's happened since, talk about bringing the game into disrepute, kicking another player on the ground.
Should have been seen.
Should have been a send-off. And for mine, it should have been 4 to 6 weeks.
At least 3.
Yeah, exactly right. So I'm really frustrated about it. And it doesn't matter what team it is, but he's got, I think it was an $1,800 fine, something like $1,400, that.
$1,400, yeah. Two matches?
What's that?
He didn't get 2 matches.
No, he didn't get any matches. So he just got the fine. But if he now gets selected in the 17 for Australia and plays that game, I think he gets like $20,000. So, it's not even 10%. Yeah. It's phenomenal. But anyway.
Are they taking match payments in the test?
Yeah, they reduced match payments from 50 down to 20, I think.
So it'd be on par with Tonga, aren't they?
I think they're doing something like that. They're splitting them all along, so there's a bit more money to go back into things. something like that anyway. So
yeah, should have been sent off, in my opinion. Like two sin bins. I don't know. Is that
no? It's not. It's not no such thing in.
But it, again, if he's done something that's warranted a sin bin, it wasn't a professional. It was just
kicked
the bloke in the head.
Yeah, the NRL's copping out because they don't want to have a send off determining a game. Like the rugby union has that issue. Wasn't going to, no, but you can't do it. It's got to be consistent across the board. But they've brought this rule in and they're letting him sim in for foul play. It's absolutely horrendous as far as I'm concerned. 15-1A in the law book. Player is guilty of misconduct if he trips, kicks or strikes another player. It's black and white. So, yeah, absolutely phenomenal. But what's done is done. Well done to the Roosters. Well done to Luke Keary. They played, yeah, as I said, close to perfect. And I think it was 20 out of 21 sets they completed in the first half. And the one set they didn't complete, Blake Ferguson was jumping up to bat a ball back in and he clipped his heel on the line as he took off. So they essentially completed that to a kick anyway. So absolutely crazy sorts of football, and not many teams would, even on their best, I think Melbourne would have struggled to compete with that. Well,
just the big question is, mate, who was the rightful leader in the big three, mate? Maybe it was Kronk all along.
Oh, maybe. He certainly justified the big pay packet to come and win a comp. So, speaking of the Roosters, mate, we might move along. Boyd Cordner has been named Australian captain now after everything that's happened with Greg Inglis. He's been stood down for two games, obviously, and relinquished the captaincy. So, well done. Doesn't really matter how you come about it. Boyd Cordner, you know, sort of an honorary Nova Cashman from just up the road there at Tari Old Bar. His brother Dane does run around for Central Newcastle in the local comp.
Had a year at the Greens too, I believe.
Yeah, he did, mate. He was playing third grade. I came up against him in third grade and he was playing blindside breakaway and I was marking up on him. It wasn't much fun.
First New South Welshman since 1936 to captain a premiership, New South Wales and Australia, all in the 1 year too, mate.
Really? There you go.
Yep. I found that out today.
Yeah. Where'd you get that stat from, mate? That's an interesting one.
Oh, in the... online, mate, in the paper.
Oh, the Herald.
The Herald, yeah. And the player that was the last player to do it was...
Frank Brown?
Fred Brown.
Fred Brown.
He was just inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so... Mate, that's certainly quite impressive. It was interesting to see that had Inglis been named captain, he would have been, I believe, technically the fourth Indigenous captain for Australia. But... actually, the third, because Laurie Daly didn't identify as Indigenous when he was the captain. So, points for you if you can name the other two, mate.
Arthur Beetson.
Arthur Beetson, correct.
And...
many have said Mal Meninga, but Mal Meninga is not Indigenous. He's a South Sea Islander. Gordon Tallis.
So, certainly a
interesting little stat, that one, but well done to a player who's obviously not that all that far away from being a Nova Cashman. We'll count him in as an honorary one, mate. So add to the list of, there's been a couple of Nova Cashmans, or there's been a few that have captained Australia, mate, I think. Bedsy, Chief, Joey have all done it. So, yeah, I would have been really interested. I would have thought Joey would have come close to skippering. He might not have been skipper yet in 97. He probably would have still had Fittler and those guys. Anyway, moving right along, mate, we'll jump into the first of our teams of the year. We'll just have a run through, a couple of little thoughts. We got the Newcastle Hunter Rugby League team of the year first. So we'll just read through, mate, and we'll go through the backs first. And obviously, you didn't delve too much input into this. You had a couple of little thoughts, but we'll just go through, mate. So I've got Mitchell Kaufman from Doral Creek, A grade at fullback. Jason Milne from Swansea, C grade on the wing. Nicholas Goodfellow of University and Jason Drzewski of Wallsend, Maryland in the centres. Willie Paleo from Woodbury rounding out those three B graders. He's on the wing. Matt Garrick, the captain, was at the 5'8". Josh Brett was the captain. Matt Garrick with 5'8" from Windale and Tieran Pearson from Shortland at a halfback. Mate, I think most of the selections speak for themselves. There was a few controversies, but the run that Matt Garrick led Windale on through that final series with on one leg for most of the series, mate, just put him in front for mine. There was some talk about the B-grade and C-grade players of the year being in the mix there. Probably their versatility hurt them, the fact that they do. The 5'8 for Morris, it also plays a bit of lock and a half, so he didn't really settle into a position. Similar story for B grade, but And then the A-grade player of the year was already Tyrone Pearce, and so he got selected at half, been absolutely dominant for Shortland this year. Plenty of size there in that back line, mate, the likes of Willie Palaio, but you saw the destructive size, that the destructive way he put that to use in the grand final. The forward pack, mate, again, plenty of experience. We've got Benny Tupou and Cade Snowden up front with Chris Marlborough. At hooker, so Ben Tupou, obviously, of Stockton, Cade Snowden at Belmont South and Marlborough from Shortland. Young Daniel Melmoth from West Walls End, sort of reshuffled him. He's normally a prop, but I think he's cut out to be an edge back rower in a side like this, and played quite well for Westie and the Newcastle 23s this year. Kai Howarth, a seasoned campaigner from Shortland, absolute just workhorse there, so he's great to have on the edge. And Josh Brett from Windale, an undersized forward, but gets through a mountain of work and throws well above his weight there. The bench, these guys, mate, some standout performers. Boston Smith played in the halves of Dora Creek, so he got selected as a utility. Steve Forrest from Woodbury, again, fairly versatile, can play in the backs and the forwards as necessary. Brooke Roach, the seasoned campaigner from Raymond Terrace up front, and there's a few people that sort of went in the mix, but I like Brooke, the fact that he managed to pop over a field goal, and you can't help but not like the man that runs around with a ponytail. Chad Irvine, another big bopper from East Maitland, but can play, you know, through the forward pack. Very big, gets through a lot of work. Glenn O'Davis can play in the forwards, can ball play as well. Season campaigner from Gloucester's D grade. Callum Bean, another big body from Katara, gets through plenty of work and has really solid impact. And just, you know, backup goal kicker, mate, your one selection, Mick Akers.
Fan favourite, mate.
Yeah, they love him. So from Aberglasson, he's played plenty of decent level footy and would not look out of place in, you know, if we're going to call this a representative merit side. People can't see I did air quotes there. This is audio, not video. Coach Craig Carslake of University is a player coach for them this year. But, look, you know, I'll put my hand up. We got into uni pretty hard after the start of the season. They turned things around. They did fall, you know, one result short of a premiership. But nine in a trot, you know, from a bloke player coaching a side that came together this year, plenty of young guys. Was very impressive, mate. They beat everyone in the comp and did so well. So congratulations, everyone there. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything more you want to add, mate.
Maybe we inspired the uni boys, mate. Maybe they put the pot on a training and said, all these idiots, they got no idea.
There'll be a lot of people saying that. But I've really enjoyed this one especially, mate. You know, it was obviously really difficult picking it across five different grades, 38 different teams. We tried to represent as much of a spread as we can, and we've tried to do that in each of the teams that we've done. But at the end of the day, look, you know, we sat down for the Newcastle Hunter Rugby one and we came up with, I think, between you and I, about 52 players that we could have put into a 23-man squad. Similar thing here, like even just when I started on my shortlist, I think I ended up with, I had about 47 players and that was without delving too deep that I thought could have earned a spot in this squad. So look, yeah, I know plenty of people are, you know, up in arms or disappointed about players that missed out, but one of the best was Jeremy Lowe from Wolseley, Maryland, and you know, they're 200 game man. You saw in the comments there, he just sort of came out and said, you know, pretty hard team to pick. There's a lot of good players. It's a pretty good side. I see now Newcastle and Hunter Rugby League are talking about, you know, whether or not they might be able to get some sort of overage, like a senior open age trial game, whether it's against maybe the tertiary, New South Wales tertiary side, or maybe even Group 3 or Group 21. And look, the great to see, and more than happy if they need a selector to put my hand up.
Yeah, well, I think
we won't let you pick. You just have Mick Akers in the squad. Yeah,
well, he'd be captain.
Yeah, him and Ricky Balcombe to get sin bin twice.
Yeah, but like you obviously, you know, you got your hand like fingerprints all over it because you sort of know a lot of blokes in that competition. But I suppose promoting it as well, you know, this Bar TV, grow the game. Hopefully, you know, we can get a bit more video footage so get it out there next year and we, you know, hopefully there's 20 about. New people.
That's what I talked about, mate. I've had a couple of text messages as well from guys really, you know, really getting around the concept. And I know a lot of people like quite enjoyed it. And I don't think anyone's trying to take away from the concept, but it was just something we thought we'd do to, you know, give some guys a wrap who've had a good season. And look, we hope to try and go on to some bigger and better things with it next year, not necessarily just this team, but with the coverage and everything. And I've had a ball covering the Newcastle Hunter Rugby League. All the teams that we've sort of approached have been really open. They've helped us out. Been happy to, you know, do anything they can, and you know, there's not a lot of coverage of it, and we'll continue to drive that next year. If there is any clubs out there that feel like, you know, you didn't get a run, or you know, players that'd love to do an interview next year, get in touch with us. I mean, I can't guarantee that we can get out to everyone because it does take time and, you know, we do try and hold down day jobs in between, but we're happy to try and get involved and cover as much as we can and, you know, we'll keep on doing that, pushing forward and until our partners threaten to leave us.
Yeah, that's right.
Moving along, mate, we might jump into the real NRL. Not as much controversy with this one. We might just try and fire through it reasonably quickly. Let's have a look here. Sorry, mate, it's just frozen on me. I did have it loaded up. So, fullback we had Lachlan Walmsley from South Newcastle. I think he speaks for himself, mate, in terms of what we look at there. Absolute superstar this year. And, really, really dominated from the back. Our wingers, again, pretty much most of our outside backs came from the grand final teams. Wingers, Talamata Arfa from Lakes and Harry Van Dardle from Souths. Two players that have got experience last year playing NYC, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them both on the big stage later on. And Matt Arf obviously brings some pretty handy goal king to the team. Another player who's come from the NYC ranks, Henry Penn, sees himself from South, picked in the centres, and then Josh Charles from Lakes. He's like having another back rower out there, but has the ability and the skill set to dominate in the centres. So really strong back line. Our halves, Jade Porter from Curry, mate, he dragged them a long way this year. He had some really solid help from a number of players, but absolute superstar. I think something like 7 premierships across his, you know, I'm going to say 12-year career in Newcastle between first grade and reserve grade. It's no mean feat. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him drag Curry into the 2019 decider and have a crack there. And the other man, Brad Murray, you know, he's done a lot at West, was really strong at Central and was almost their heartbeat this year after a lot of injuries and reshuffles. And you know, they finished up third. I mean, they did go out in straight sets, unfortunately, but second on the ladder. But, you know, they were a very strong contender this year. So, well-deserved there from Brad Murray. Up front, mate, I couldn't go past Dane Tilse, just the experience that he brings. I know you're a big fan of him as well, mate, from his days at the Knights and the Raiders and over in the UK. And Cameron King, we saw what he could do close to the line in the grand final, but he's got through a mountain of work this year up front for Souths and absolutely dominant. At hooker, you couldn't really pick anyone else. Again, another ex-NRL player, Adam Clydesdale, he was the player of the year, and between with him and Tilse, the experience that they brought to Maitland alongside captain coach Luke Dawn was huge. The back row, we had Matt Herman from West. A little bit of an underrated quiet achiever, Matty Herman, but gets through great work on the edge. He's worked his way infield over recent seasons and does a really good job in the back row. And the other one, mate, he's probably my personal favourite this year, Nick Glowey from Lakes United. Absolute superstar in the back row. Gets through mountains of work as well and very dangerous, running off some good halves there at Lakes. The last man, Ethan Cook, in the starting lineup. Cookie just, he's got sublime skill set, can play in the halves. Yeah, and there's not much he can't do, so well done to Cookie there. Then our bench, we went with the traditional, you know, three forwards with a back row of two props or middles and a utility. The utility, Scott Briggs from Macquarie. Macquarie didn't have the best year this year, but anyone that's seen Briggsy play knows the magic that he can deliver and certainly showed that on the weekend, which we'll get to in a minute. Reid Olchin was a runaway superstar for the Emerging Rebels when they went away. Quietened down in the back end of the year, but was very strong for probably two-thirds of the season. So, really promising player to watch in the future. Sean Boss, he's made his name for Wyong in the New South Wales Cup over recent years, and he stepped into Lakes and really taken the role up the middle there. So, an absolute workhorse. And final man in our squad is Brendan Halad. Brendan's been a front row, second row, who's dominated the Newcastle Rugby League over a number of years for Cessnock, and he's a bit of an enforcer. He's, you know, certainly runs close to the line of, you know, discipline and those sorts of things, but you kind of need one or two of those in a team, I feel, and Brendan fits the job description perfectly there. You get plenty out of him. So congrats to all those guys, and we couldn't get past the premiership-winning coach in Big Ben Cross, mate, as the coach from Souths, as the coach of the year. So congrats to all selected, and a little bit less controversy on that one.
Certainly was, mate. But I suppose, you know, as you said, they're all pretty much standouts. But it's, you know, again, just our opinions and
what we've seen. There's plenty of similarities to
a lot of their names were getting
to what Josh Callanan threw out in the Herald. There was a few variations there, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think probably five or six of the spots were different maybe. But, yeah, so...
A lot of them names you mentioned or I mentioned during the year, and, you know, they're in, obviously the Herald do a pretty good job reporting on the stuff, so they I spoke about. But we report the facts, mate.
Yeah, exactly. So
best media source in Newcastle.
So we tell all our fans. So yeah, so that was that, mate. We might sort of just tailor off from the Scott Briggs mention there, mate, and head into the Koori knockout from the weekend. Absolute phenomenal performance. The might start with the ladies first, actually. The Newcastle Yowies, mate. The women's side ran out winners in their grand final, led by Laheta Jane Porter, so the wife of Jade Porter. So obviously, I don't know, mate, but I'm told that she's the better footballer of the two, and from what I've seen, I would agree. So, and Jade probably wouldn't be game to argue. So, yeah, obviously, some pretty good genetics there for their kids, mate.
It certainly is, mate. It certainly is, and yeah, I don't know. I didn't get to see any of it, but I'm sure it was pretty exciting.
Mate, there's plenty of good games, plenty of live stream going on, and I caught the live stream of the men's final, and I sort of came in a little bit late, and the Newcastle All Blacks were taking on the La Perouse Panthers, and Newcastle All Blacks with a very heavy Macquarie factor. They had all the Briggs brothers and the Simon brothers as well. They obviously had Parramatta's Will Smith as well as a number of other, you know, handy Newcastle Rugby League players. They were down 12-0 when I flicked on, and I thought, geez, it got to 18-0, and I was like, this is looking a bit dire. It's looking a bit like Sunday's game. They fought back and got to 18-all, and then they just got the roll on, and the man himself, the season campaigner, Scott Briggs, popped over the field goal, and probably one of the best sights I saw. The camera flashed sideline to Jacob, the eldest of the brothers that was playing, I believe, and the emotion on his face for them to bring that title back to Newcastle. They've gone very close in a number of years. I think they've lost maybe three grand finals in the last 4 years. So for them to sort of, you know,
First one in 31 years.
Yeah, it's 30-odd years. So really good to see. And, you know, it's no mean feat. Like, yeah, I mean, they did have Will Smith, but a number of those sides had a number of NRL and ex-NRL players. I know La Perouse had Craig Garvey and some others there. So a really big win, and it gives them the hosting rights. Doesn't mean it has to be hosted in Newcastle, but it does mean they've got the option to host it in Newcastle. I think it was a similar story last year where I don't think Dubbo, I'm pretty confident Dubbo didn't win it, but the rights were sold to Dubbo to host it. So really good, really big congratulations to Newcastle All Blacks, and in particular the Briggs brothers who've been, and Simon brothers who've been a core of that team for a number of years now. And hopefully they do host it in Newcastle, they can find a suitable venue next year, because I'll certainly be there with bells on. It'll be a cracking day, or a couple of days. I'll certainly be there on the Monday, that's for sure. But yeah, hopefully they can find a venue and we can bring some tourism and some of the best rugby league you will watch. It's a little bit old school in terms of the physicality, and they play it to the line of the laws, but some really talented footballers. You'll see more talented footballers who should be in the NRL and aren't than anywhere else in the world.
Agree, mate, agree.
So yeah, so again, a big congrats to both those sides, the Newcastle Yowies and the Newcastle All Blacks.
Primax Sports Tours, mate. Opportunity.
Yeah, so we'll move along, mate. There's some junior representative country sides that have been going around in the last couple of weeks. Unfortunately, there's no players selected in the under-23s country side. That probably stems from the fact that Newcastle Rugby League has moved across to New South Wales Rugby League as opposed to Country Rugby League. And there was also under-18s and under-16s country sides picked. So the under-16s country, just the one from Newcastle and Hunter, and that was Jasper McGill from East Maitland. He played a part yesterday they played up at Lismore, both sides, and they defeated PNG's under-16s 38-6, so a good win there. And congratulations to Jasper. The under-18s country, we had five of the 18 players named were from Newcastle. So we've got Sam Abraham was picked in the centres. He's from Macquarie. Ayativa Mateora, he's a winger from Central Charleston. Not sure if he's any connection to Sam Mateora that played at the Knights a couple of years ago. Willie Lockwood Jr., who's picked at halfback. A lot of people who are solid followers of country football will know the Lockwood surname. William Fudgy played played in a number of different clubs, Port Macquarie, Macleay Valley. They were down at Wyong for a year or two as well, I think. And Willie, I believe, is the son of Willie. And if he's got half the ability of his old man, he will be an absolute superstar to watch in the future. Riley Mayne from the Macquarie Scorpions was picked in the 11 jersey, and Sione Tuitupokutu was from West, was picked in the 12. So five players in the starting 13, mate. Not a bad effort from the Newcastle boys.
Yeah, it's good. Newcastle's got a pretty good nursery, mate. So yeah,
we certainly do, mate. It's interesting, though, because I think if you play SG ball, you're not eligible to play in these. Yeah. So you think about there's already a squad above that, and then we've got five more picked into the countryside. So so that they had a 52-6 win over PNG yesterday evening. So Sam Abraham and Ayatiba Mateora got across for tries, and young Willie Lockwood Jr. took a conversion. So good to see a few of the boys getting amongst the points. And then they play the 16s and the 18s play against the Gold Coast Titans, 16s and 18s up at Cudgeon on Saturday, mate. So anyone that happens to be up and around there, definitely get down. Be great to see the boys go around again, and mate, hopefully they can roll the Gold Coast Titans development size. That'd be a big scalp.
Certainly would, mate. Hopefully Mr. Gardner from West and all Knights is watching, mate. Sign them up.
Yeah, get some
talent coming through.
Get amongst them, yeah, especially if there's some of those bloodlines are what we think in terms of Matt Ayora. And I wonder if Sam Abraham's actually Daniel Abraham's son, because Daniel's out at Macquarie.
When you read that out, I was thinking that.
There's a few names there that could be connected, mate. So, yeah, certainly keep an eye on some of those. Next on up, mate, we've got the Emerging Nations World Cup, which kicked off on Monday. And, yeah, so there's some strong representation from Newcastle connections, mate. In we've got about four of the sides. I couldn't get team lists and couldn't get information back from all the teams, but we've done what we can. So first up, there's a very strong ex-Newcastle Knights flavour to the Newey side, which is, you know, probably appropriate. Zeb Lucy, Eddie Payer and Sione Tovo all playing for Newey. So that's be exciting to see them. I think they've got their first game coming up tomorrow at St Mary's, which we'll go through in a second. We'll have a look. Malta and the Philippines clashed on Monday, I believe, Monday or Tuesday, and Malta ran away 36-10 winners, but both sides with very strong connections to the Newcastle Hunter Rugby League. So Malta have got Sam Stone, who's at the Knights, and Ben Stone, who plays for West, as well as Pete Cronin from Curry. While the Philippines have Shane Gray, who's a first grader from Central, and Dylan and Ryan Jones, who are lower graders at Central. So really good to see a few of those boys. And then also Poland, mate. We've getting all the goss from Poland from our man Troy Lowry at Aerolax. He's one of the trainers, and he's also Aerolax sponsoring the squad. But Alex Kowalski, who's one of the halves, I believe, from Greta Brankston, and I think he skivered them in their warm-up game. And Ethan Niscott, who's a reserve grader from Maitland, both playing for Poland. So, mate, good to see, you know, 10 or 11 blokes there running around for all of their respective nations. And I did note that I believe Sam Stone got across the stripe for Malta in that win over the Philippines. So,
nice.
I'll be heading down tomorrow, mate, and catching Hong Kong and Poland. So watching their first game. I don't know that I'll make it for the Malta Nui game. But there's a big day on Japan versus Turkey and Hungary versus Vanuatu. I saw something on Facebook. Reece West is playing for Vanuatu.
Yeah, right. Where's it on
at,
mate?
So the game's tomorrow at St Mary's, and then on Saturday they're at Cabramatta. So tomorrow's game started about 11:50 a.m. and run through till about 7 o'clock. And Saturday's games are at Cabramatta, and then they continue on. If you just look up Emerging Nations Rugby League on Google, you will find all the information you need. Basically, it's a little three-pool tournament. There's 11 teams, so Pool A and B are the teams that win through from that will contest the cup competition. And then the top two teams from Pool C, which is allegedly sort of the weaker pool, will play off against the bottom teams from the bottom team, Pool A and B, for the trophy. And then the bottom three sides in Pool C will play in the bowl. So Pool A is Malta, Nui and the Philippines. Pool B, Hungary, Vanuatu and Greece. Pool C, Turkey, Japan, Poland, Hong Kong, and the Solomon Islands. I did notice a couple of sides, mate. Japan have got Gehamat Shibasaki, who was also named in the Prime Minister's 13, and he was named in their squad, and obviously from the Broncos. And Turkey in their squad had Emre Güler and Aiden Caesar from Canberra named. So some pretty big names there considering they're in Pool C. So Troy's boys might have their work cut out for them up against them if those players do take the field. But yeah, good to see some names, and I'm hoping to see a very, very well looked after and in good nick 40-something-year-old Reece Wesser running around tomorrow night.
Yes, well, the Polish boys will... Polish?
Poland, yeah. So the Poland Eagles. So we've got the Poland Eagles, the Maltese Knights, and the Philippines Tamarors, I believe, are their mascots.
I believe big Troy is on the lookout for a triple XL shirt for the Big Al himself. I heard along the grapevine, mate.
Is he just repaint a small marquee? He'll
be around the cricket scenes this summer.
Oh, I bet he will. Do we know where he's going? Which cricket club he's supporting this year? Is it University?
It is, mate. University.
He's definitely taking the field out there. I did try and get in contact with Scotty today, and he didn't write back. No surprise there. But, mate, that's the rugby league. We might move on to rugby union, and I might let you run through the team of the year for that one, mate. I'm sure now that you're off duty for the off-season, you can do that.
Yes. Well, I can go through it.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah, just have a read through, mate. I think this one's pretty self-explanatory, most of them. We did try and make sure there was a spread of all the teams, so there's a few...
few controversies on the bench.
Well, yeah. Maybe just one, and I'll let the punters figure that out, but... Look, you know, at the end of the day, he was one of the most capped players for Lake Macquarie, Chris Hunt, and, you know, was pretty solid for them. You know, he's one of those players that probably handy off the bench if you were to put this team out there, in that you know what you're going to get. It's going to be, you know, we've talked about it before with some players, you're probably not going to get a 9.5 or a 10, but you're going to get 6, 6.5, 7.5 every week, and he's just going to turn up and get through the minutes for you.
Yeah, that's right. And his teammate, Junior, on the player probe, mate, said he was one of the heaviest hitters in the NHRU. So
there you go,
take
mate.
Take his word for it.
All right, fire away.
We'll start. We'll do it opposite to the league, mate. We'll start with the big man up front, Geraint Weaver from the Hamilton Hawks. He was, without question, probably the premier tight head this year for Hamilton and anchored their scrum very well. Chris Ayle from the Hamilton club as well. He missed a little chunk there with a broken arm, but I reckon he would have went close to the Anderson medal if he was fully fit for the whole year, but you know, that's life. Blair Rush from the Wanderers reinvented himself this year, went into the front row after he did his knee last year. He bulked up a little bit, but again, he learnt a lot and had a good season. The second rowers... Travis Brook and Joe Akersdyke from the two premiership or the two grand final teams. Joe had a big grand final, and Travis Brook, obviously, he was outstanding. Missed a little bit of the start of the year with his knee, but I think the back row that we selected was pretty tight, so we had to get him in somewhere. The 6 and 7, Nathan Oliver from Nelson Bay, again, like you said, with the 6.5, 7.5, 8.5. Out of 10 every week.
Consistent.
You're going to get that every week. I know Garrett's a massive fan of him.
Oh, mate, I'm a big fan too. I said, I went back and watched some footage in terms of putting together my sort of thoughts on this team. And he just goes under the radar, just an absolute worker, just contested footy. He'd be, honestly, if I was getting Waratah back into the competition, let's use for an example, he would be one of the first players I'd be trying to pursue because he's the sort of loose forward you can build, you know, a game plan around.
Similar to... the Wallabies captain, mate, Michael Hooper, a little bit.
I don't know about that, but...
Not in the same echelon?
No, not quite, yeah, no. I don't think Michael Hooper's in the same echelon as Nathan Oliver.
Number 7, the other breakaway was Marlon Sulafiti, I believe that's correct, from Southern Beaches. Played most of his year, flowed between 8 and breakaway, but I think we had to get him there somewhere. He was... barnstorming when he played.
I mean, looking at the competition this year, there's probably 4 or 5 number 8s outside of him that we could have picked at number 8. So, you know, you've only got to look at the bloke that picked up the medal on grand final day. And there was another one at Wanderers as well. And, you know, there's plenty of them floating around. So there was a few reshuffles, like a couple of teams where we just sort of, and you know, and you'll see that later on, where there's a couple of people you can't just go, we can't leave you out. So it was a bit of a reshuffle there, but a very hard hitter in defence and adds a lot of impact.
Season pro, mate. Number 8, the member of the Carlton, number 8, Rahimi Smiler.
Ramiha.
Yes, he's he was, again, barnstorming during the whole season and earned himself a contract overseas, I believe, in France.
It'll be a big loss for Merriweather next year, mate.
Didn't realise he was only 23 until there was a
bit. Is he really? No, I would have had him pinned for late 20s, so
yeah,
deceptive.
Very mature. The number 9, mate, who for rookie year in first grade, Cooper Harris from the Singleton Rugby Club.
He's just electric. Like, the things that he could do, like just in closed space and tight space and different things, just blew me away. You and I tossed back and forth between him and Max Stafford, who ended up on our bench. And, you know, Max probably might have been the victim of the fact that he didn't play the whole season. But, yeah, mate, look, if he can stay there, especially with the tutor that he's got showing him what to do, he could be absolutely anything, and I think he'll be very close to the Newcastle rep side next year.
Yeah, good halfback, mate. Very chirpy. Great pass. So
you love a chirpy halfback, don't you, as a referee?
Oh, yes.
That'd be the only blokes on the field that you're bigger than.
The number 10 was the premiership-winning fly half from the Hamilton Hawks, Dane Sherritt. Again, he represented Newcastle at the start of the year. He had a very good campaign. He was a little bit disrupted there mid-season. Again, another injury.
After his nose job.
But, yeah, he was very good. Congratulations to him too in the week. He proposed and his missus said yes, so he'll be getting married shortly. So
she knows that for Dane.
Yeah, I think she's aware of that.
Oh, dear.
One of the wingers, the first one, number 11, was Fiso Vassagotti.
Hey.
He was outstanding. I know Bubba has got huge raps on him.
Very elusive.
Said it could be anything, and it is true, but he's, yeah.
There's a lot of guys in Newcastle under rugby, I think, that have got electric pace, but his pace in and out of, change of direction, his agility and his acceleration really, really puts him apart in terms of what he can do. Just, yeah, he can turn on a dime and just accelerate out. Like, he almost sort of reminds me the way he changes angles and stuff of like some of those NFL wide receivers and stuff. It's just phenomenal, and the way he sees space. So, yeah, he was for mine. He was the runaway, hands down, winner of winger of the year.
Yeah, he can play anywhere. Well, the 12 and the 13, you couldn't really go past the Maitland combination, Kyle Manu and Chris Logan, obviously, and double Anderson winner back-to-back for Carl and Chris Logan represented country out of the mid-north coast zone because he wasn't good enough to get picked in Newcastle and ended up as one of the best players on their country campaign this year. And
yeah, look, he was another one. He played a few different positions this year and we probably could have looked at it, but it was that partnership with Carl Manu, just very dangerous. And, you know, again, there's probably some guys that might consider themselves unlucky there, you know, the likes of Paddy Kilmurray and there's another one who's maybe even Dylan Rowney, but he was sort of a late starter to the campaign, Dylan Rowney, which probably cost him a starting spot there.
Yep. And the other winger was the joint leading try scorer this year from the Southern Beach Club, Adrian Delore. He's probably playing out of position, but I think you've just got to get him a run somewhere.
Well, that's exactly right, mate. Tries. The next bloke that we've got on there was hands down my fullback at the end of the day once we had a real look through and sifted through. Adrian, though, in the number of games that he played to get the number of tries that he did, he has a knack of finding the try line and, you know, it's not a bad trait to have if you got a winger.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, a pretty solid one at that and, you know, it could take some extra work for you as well, I think.
That's right. And the fullback was Jay Strawn, the captain of Merriweather Carlton. Again, like, you had to find a spot for him somewhere and that's his position he plays. I'm not saying it's necessarily his best position. But, outstanding. Breaks a lot of tackles. He's electric over the first 20 metres and he's pretty tough because he does get hit hard a lot and a lot high, but that's just because he's so low to the ground and wrong foots a lot of people, mate. So
that like your playing career, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Electric. Now we go to the bench. As we said,
cult hero.
We're trying to get a good spread. Maitland's cult hero, big mungy William So was one of the first reserve props. He lost a lot of weight this year and it really showed. He was getting regularly through 75 plus minutes, which he has done previously. But
I've seen a lot of statuses about KFC and things since the season finished though, so I'm a bit concerned about how his off season's going. I'm sure Billy Coffey will have him in shape in no time though.
The next was the veteran hooker from
Evergreen,
Nelson Bay, Dan Collins. He had a few years in England previously. He came back last year, had his second year back this year, was very good. Obviously, probably just pipped Dan Runchell, the other veteran from Maitland. But, yeah, Dan was very good. The next one on our list, mate, is Jerome Wilson.
Mate, a bit of versatility and just impact because, I mean, in the day, Jerome can probably play anywhere in the back five of the scrum. I know he has prop before as well. So, a bloke that can pretty much play half the positions or more in that forward pack gives you some versatility, and we've seen what he can do. And, you know, it reminds me when he gets in a bit of open space of what, when they first saw what Tom and Thor could do. Just a big body bloke who can run and likes to run, and he's got that big loping, that gait. Just the value that he'd have if you're bringing him on against a tired defence is absolutely huge.
That's right. And he had to obviously take a lot of that pressure at the line out when Brendan Jackson really broke his arm pretty bad. So, you know, probably reinvented himself a little bit, but had a good year. Next player on the list, mate, is the backup halfback. Oh, no, Max Stafford, yeah, number 20. We'll go with him first, but, you know, again, he was a he was the halfback of the rep team this year. Obviously, probably just shaded Eli McCulloch a little bit there, but he was, yeah, very good and had a great season. Next on our list, mate, reserve back rower, Chris Hunt, fan of the show. Lake Macquarie's sole representative. I think we touched on earlier. Had a pretty solid year, mate. Honne Edwards, one of your favourite boys from the Uni Club.
Come down from the territory. I honestly, and you know, like I would say this to Honne, and I wasn't sure how he'd go with the step up in physicality and a little bit of speed from Darwin, but he's absolutely excelled. Played some junior representative footy and has been a linchpin for university. I mean, for mine, like we talked about wanting to have a representation of every club in this side. And, I think we decided on him. The depth of hooker probably cost Dane LaRugitelle. He was a very strong performer for them for most of the year and went away with the Stockman team. But, Honne for a young kid of all of 19 is, if university can hang on to him for a few years, he'll be a nice core piece of their puzzle.
Yeah, you'll learn a lot under Tony Munro if he's still there next year, mate. Next on the list is the reserve number 10, Luke Simmons, goal kicking extraordinaire. Had a fairly solid year.
Utility, mate, can play fullback and wouldn't go out of place on a wing either. So he can play a bit of 12, and that was probably his value: his goal kicking and his his spread through that back line.
And the number 23 on the list, mate, he was a late starter this year in the rugby scene, Dylan Rowney from the Singleton Rugby Club was the last man on the list, but I think Chris Logan was just, he was obviously the first choice at 13, but yeah, there's not much between them.
Right, those last couple of outside back spots, there was probably a dozen blokes like we talked about before, the Paddy Kilmurrys, Lalala, the list could go on endlessly. Like we said, we had 50-something players to pick 23 from, and that was after we really culled some strong players.
Yeah, that's right, mate. And the coach?
None other than the KG Fox, Darren Young.
KG Fox, yeah, that's right. Youngie's out there coaching this team, mate. So
shame to see him leave. But a lot of people, for mine, and I think this one was probably predominantly my decision, mate, you sort of gave a few thoughts. And I just thought a lot of people wrote Wanderers off at the start of the year. Yeah. He dragged him into the finals. Obviously, it didn't quite go the way they wanted to there, but you know, they had a few bumps on the way, but a lot of people were sort of expecting them to miss the finals for the first time in a long time. And they were, you know, the proverbial bee's dick away from second spot. So I thought a really good season. Could have picked a number of people in there. I know you were pushing for, what was his name, Clark?
David Clark,
yeah. I heard you were pushing for him. Believed he set the platform for all of Bubba's rewards. No, not really. any of those sides in the top five, their coaches could have quite easily been named coach of the year. Even probably a Steve Merrick who, you know, brought drag Singleton off the canvas to use a boxing parlance. And I really look forward to what he can do next year. I think they started their preseason last week.
Yeah.
His ad's going up already. I don't know. I think Xavier's just sitting at Rugby Park swiping on Grindr. That's what he's doing for preseason training, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our Newcastle and Hunter Rugby Union team of the year. So feel free to email us or ring Jared with abuse. His number, no.
While we're on that, obviously, well done to all our award winners, but congratulations to Matt Thomas, former country coach. He has coached Maitland before, but he has been announced as the Maitland rugby coach for next season.
Good experience there. So what does that leave for their co-coaches from this year?
Well, they were stepping aside after the grand final. So I believe Ryan McCormack is going to play.
That's a positive. That's a big positive for them.
He's younger than me. He's only 30. And I'm not sure what Mick's going to do, but...
sure, he lost the game.
They've obviously built, you know, they've built very well. They've got a very good squad. So, yeah, Matt will keep leading them in the right direction.
Yeah, lovely, mate. Well, we'll look forward to it. I think the 2019 season, after how close the top five was this year and, you know, some of the improvements and things I'm hearing, you know, some of those other clubs, university, you know, a new coach,
yep.
Singleton obviously building a platform already. Southern Beaches, you know, look, I think they'll hold on to a core of their players and, you know, come back bigger and better. And, well, Lake Macquarie's got to get better.
They will.
They should make Chris Hunt captain there, coach.
Mate. Yeah, Chris Hunt, he'll lead them to glory, mate.
Yeah. You've heard it here first. Jared Sippen to win the comp. All right, move on to the NRC, mate. New South Wales country. It's just, I said to you last week, I said they'll go over there and they'll get thumped. 48-7, Fiji and drew up. Absolutely smacked him. Sees Fiji hold on to top spot on the ladder. Now sees New South Wales country 8 points out of the top four with two games to go. The problem for them is they play the two teams fighting for fourth and fifth. Fortunately, their home game. So essentially, if they beat both of them and those teams lose their other games, then they could get in. The bad news is they play Brisbane this week. If they lose to Brisbane, Brisbane will gap them by too far. So they're definitely gone. But Queensland country play the Sydney Rays, who've got one bonus point all season. This week, so if Queensland win that, it doesn't really matter what New South Wales do. They need to get bonus point wins in both their games and hope for other results. So, you know, the old mathematical, but, mate, put a line through them.
Yeah, they're gone.
But, yeah. Slice them up there, Cook. So, yeah.
How many tries Fiji scored, but Western Force put 9 tries on the Sydney Rays, mate, and they didn't score their first try till the 21st minute.
No, mate. I think I said this to a couple of people earlier in the season. Fiji and the Western Force had massive advantages in that they'd been playing some games. Fiji had played a couple of games together. The Force had obviously been building. Predominantly, that squad is the same one that played in Tweedy Forest World Tour of Perth, where all the teams came through. You know, they played against Super Rugby teams and stuff. So, mate, you know, they talk about that team cohesion. It's you know, like, I mean, obviously, if you put, you know, Southern Beaches fourth grade out there, it doesn't matter how many games they play together. They're not probably going to beat, you know, some of these teams. But, you know, when you get professional level rugby players playing together consistently, then that's what's going to happen. And look, it could be a very Fiji and Drua and the Force will play each other in the final round, and then they'll quite possibly meet in the grand final, mate. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens if Fiji have hosting rights to the final.
Yeah, right. Yeah, will be interesting, mate.
Yeah, two rounds left, mate. This weekend, New South Wales do take on Brisbane City out at Camden on Sunday at 1 p.m. So, look, still get behind New South Wales country. There's, you know, still two games left, and
not a lot of good promotional stuff on social media. I'm seeing, mate, a lot of videos and.
I don't know about the videos you're watching on social media. We might jump into the round ball, mate. The A League, we're up there. You had most of the gang, the Jets, they're on fire against. A slightly understrength, but, you know, not that far away. Western Sydney Wanderers team. 4-0 winners.
Easy, mate. Could have been 8.
I don't know about 8.
Two were cleared off the line in the second half. Very good, the Jets. I think Ernie's got them prime, mate. Ready to go, one better.
Mate, looking good. It was a very slippery surface out, mate. A lot of blokes falling over. Roy O'Donovan was falling over quite a lot. But, yeah, no, another good building block on the way to the season. We're now 2.5 weeks out from kickoff, mate. So not next week's episode, but the week after we'll be able to start talking about round one. Might do a bit of a preview of the A-League next week and our thoughts on who's going to finish.
I believe Saturday the 13th is the fan day.
Yeah, I understand that's correct. Yep, so that's only, you know, just over a week away.
We can get some more photos with the Hoff, mate.
Yeah, mate, the great man, Hoff's hair. Speaking of the great man. He and Nigel Bugar, the skipper, have signed one-year deals, so that extends them on to the end of the 2019-20 season, I understand, which is great to see, a bit of security for two seasoned campaigners.
Unlike Newcastle too, normally it's, you know, a bit of a merry-go-round, one-year deal here.
Yeah, but I understand, you know,
better management.
That interview with Joel Griffiths the other week, but that's what they're trying to push to is a bit more solidarity and, you know, players tend to play better if they've got a bit of job security as a rule.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a guy who needs to play for a contract, but that's a whole different story.
I think Ernie's doing the right thing. I think Laurie's doing a great job.
Laurie's great, mate. I caught up with him briefly on the way out of the ground on Saturday as well. And mate, it's just all positive, and mate, it's all positive, and it's going in the right direction, and the feel and the buy-in of the club.
Was Laurie's brother there, mate?
I didn't see him there, no. I don't think there was enough of a window.
He was fuming when the bar was shut.
Enough of a drinking window. So, yeah. But anyway, mate, as I said, we'll go a bit more in-depth to the soccer next week, but we might jump into the Newcastle District Cricket. And what a round it was, mate. There was plenty of runs on offer.
It was.
3 centuries, 12 half-centuries.
Obviously, we did the show last week, sort of not knowing fully who was in and out, just sort of based on what we'd heard. But there was some exciting new names to come out, mate. And
certainly was, mate. The oldies. We might start with University and Wall's End, mate. Wall's End posted a mammoth total, more than a run of ball. And I really expected, you know, I thought they might have the wood to get the job done. But University, for Wall's End, Nathan Price, 124. So that was the top scorer of the round, our man Pricey. So a great knock there. Off a bit less than 100 balls too. Luke Bird, the ever-consistent paceman with 3 wickets. But the University of Newcastle led by Nathan Hudson with 112 not out, and James Rushford with 72 chased it down with a couple overs to spare.
They did it, mate. They did it, fairly easily in the end, but it's a good ground out there at Wall's End. But, Rushy was an 11th-hour call-up, mate, and he got the call-up very late to play and obviously got, 1,200 runs in England in the off-season and let him off. But, yeah, Hutto went bananas.
Certainly did, mate. The other games, Charlestown, they defeated Stockton in a pretty predictable result. Daniel Arms and Michael Richardson both combining with half-centuries there. So good to see Michael Richardson. He's progressed up through the lower grades for Charlestown. He's been there for a few years. And then Josh Edwards and Daniel Chillingworth combined both 3 wickets each to restrict Stockton and see Charlestown run out winners there. Toronto, mate, they got a good win over Waratah Mayfield, 3 for 178. Jeremy Ford and Josh Westwood with 50s. They knocked over Waratah, who 9 for 176. Johnny Durheim, the rep star from Waratah, with 61, mate. A pretty good knock there, but Josh Westwood, again, the star with the ball, as well as the bat, 4 for 24. Adrian Chad, last year's co-player of the year with 3 for 24. So, good win for your boys, the Magpies.
Magpies?
Oh, sorry, Toronto. Sorry, yeah.
Very unlike Toronto winning before Christmas.
I misread that one. Yeah, sorry, yeah. So,
Josh Westwood had a day out, mate.
Did have a day out, mate. Has hit a number of people over the weekend, so it was a good day for cricket. And mate, the live scoring, how good's that? Like, if you're out and about, we're at the soccer and we're sort of talking about the results, and it's great. I'm sure.
On Saturdays, I don't have to text Kath Pink every Saturday now. I can just go straight to the app.
You say text or sext?
Whatever she wants.
Exactly. Eric Cruz loves that. Moving on. Belmont, mate. This one was an interesting one. 8 for 213. I thought there might have been a few more runs on offer at Charlestown Oval. Simon Keane with a masterful 104, mate. Pretty good addition there.
Yeah, just for that one game.
He's just playing one game, is he?
He's come in because the competition on the Central Coast, where he plays, is doesn't start till this week, so he just wanted to run. So I rang Marcus and said, can I have a run? And, yeah, he had a good day out. And now they're trying to convince him to stay.
Yeah, it would be. Mate, Josh Geary with 3 wickets for Merriweather. Merriweather in their chase. Zach McGuigan, 60, not out. Michael Eccleston, 60. And then Simon Keane, 3 for 36.
He got two wickets in the second last over, I believe.
Yeah, so, certainly a good win for Belmont there, a side that, I don't know what's going to happen now if he leaves.
Big confidence builder, I suppose.
Well, is it though, if he leaves?
Hopefully they can keep
Simon. He's the best batsman and the best bowler. Did he wicket keep as well?
I don't know if Marcus let him, but I believe he's the New South Wales country skipper this year.
Is he?
Yes, so he's come back from Sydney, so.
So who's he playing with on the Central Coast, do we know?
Maybe Tookley or Warner Vale, I believe.
You're just guessing. Moving along, mate. That's all right. We'll find out. We'll come back to it. Hamwicks, 5 for 168. They knocked over Cardiff, Boolaroo, Ben Bolcom and Matt Webber with 50s for them, mate. Probably a little bit of understrength. Hamilton side, we sort of exchanged team lists of the ones that were released on Thursday and Friday. And a couple of names missing there, mate. They're a little bit surprising. Only one Weber, I believe. And
yeah, one Weber and the former captain is under suspension still, Josh Trappell.
Yeah, correct.
So, yeah, but the old stager, Matt Weber, led him to a victory with the representative keeper, Ben Balcombe.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Lewis Catlow with a 36. There's lots of starts for Cardiff, so you hope that they can capitalise on that a little bit. And Kane Anderson with 3 wickets for Hamwick. So that was pretty strong. But the biggest win of the weekend, mate, Newcastle City, they set 163 for West the Chase, mate. And West did it pretty easy with, first of all, with the ball, Brad Aldiss and Peter Loszczyk with 4 wickets each. Certainly some good figures there. And then Aaron Wivell, 74 not out, and Mr. Consistent Joe Price with a 60 to lead them to victory.
So we're doing a price watch, mate.
Well, mate, it's interesting to see. I think we might have Joe just in front on the bragging rights. We might have a just an ongoing thing on who's got the best bragging rights. So purely based on the fact that he got Nathan out in the trial match, I think he's just in front. I think Price has closed the gap with a ton, but the fact that Joe got a half and a win, so
yeah.
So mate, Wes, looking strong, eyeing back to back, mate.
They've got they've kept the core of their group. I think a couple of players are coming soon, but yeah, they're hitting the right notes, mate. And
that they are.
Yeah.
That they are, mate. So we jump onto this week's action on Saturday in Pool A. Last week's two of last week's winners, University, clash with Charleston at University number one, mate. This one will be a belter, I would suggest.
Certainly will. It'll be interesting to see who actually turns up for uni this week, mate.
Will Scott Logan be taking on his old side?
Logan has been named in first grade, I believe, after his heroics at the festival last weekend.
Festival hero.
But, Matt Gorthrop's out. I believe he's doing some filming for My Kitchen Rules. So he's not here at the moment. But
Who's he going on that with?
Well, he was supposed to be on there with Scotty Logan, but Scotty Logan had his little hiatus overseas, so...
Conflict.
And Rushy, I believe, is now out for the foreseeable future.
What's he done?
Oh, he's just under the thumb. I mean, his wife won't let him play, so... Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be interesting, but...
Mate, who's your tip? That's what I want to know.
I'm going to go for...
The brother or the... You get the home club. You're going against your own brother. Jeez, that's good. Will there be the tactic? Will they have the superstar tactical coach on the sideline? Is what I want to know.
He could be there. He could be Big there, rocking a singlet and a dog. I reckon.
His singlet, his dog, or just anything he gets his hands on.
His
singlet
and his dog. He's got a bit of a limp like him at the moment.
Big Bart, the great man. He'll be jumping on everyone. He'll love it. Yeah, mate. I'm gonna go uni here. I think even with a couple of outs, and you never know with them. Why?
No.
Mate, it could depend. I feel like they need to name 15. Just depend on who's actually going to show up on the day. But anyway, that's uni, the wham bam, and that's their short fight form, short attention spans. That's where they seem to thrive. The winner of that will obviously sit in a box seat 2 weeks in. They'll be one of possibly only one. They'll possibly be the only undefeated side in their pool.
Yes.
Speaking of sides that are currently undefeated, West hosts Wall's End at Harker Oval. Harker sees its first cricket action of the season. Mate, who do you like here? Battle of the prices, mate. We'll have a prices right by the end of this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with the home team, mate. I just think they're start of the year in very good form, and I think at home, I think they'll get it done, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Sounds like my winter prediction.
Yeah, mate, the home team loves it. I'm going to go with West here too, as much as it hurts me as a committee member at Wall's End and, secretary of the Nathan Price Fan Club. He's the president and treasurer. I think West will be too strong here. They threaten with the ball and the bat. I still don't believe that the superstar ins for Wall's End are around as of yet. So still waiting for those, for Brett and possibly even Brooksy to come back from overseas. So they might be a few weeks away, so let alone if Mr. Geese does join them. But they might do a Toronto-esque run.
Did I see a little stat that Nathan Price got his 14th first grade 100 last week?
Yeah, so that's so
30 short.
So he is now second on the list, I believe, and he's 30 behind.
First grade tons.
First grade 100s, wow. Yeah.
That's a lot.
As I said to him, if he plays for another 4 seasons and gets 8 a season, he'll get there, or if he plays for another 10 seasons at 3 a season, he'll get there. Either way, it's a lot of cricket and a lot of runs.
It's
But if anyone can do it.
It's a lot of hundreds, though.
It is, mate. 44 first grade hundreds. And I believe that Wallsend scorer Jack Brown scored his 100th hundred in first grade on the weekend.
Yeah, right. 44. Yeah. Crossy scored 14.
Yeah, so they've got half of them.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, that could have been someone taking the mickey, though. I'm not sure. Next up, mate, the City host Stockton. Mate, this is probably the two sides that we've tipped to be in the cellar.
Spoonbutt.
I did see Newcastle City came out and named their captains during the week this week, which I thought was good after first grade have already played, their team captains for the year. Look, I think City wins this one at number one pretty easily, but, you know, this probably tips you to who's going to finish last at the end of the year in overall cricket.
Yeah, I think, we probably were leaning towards Stockton for the spoon, mate, but I'm going to go Stockton and upset here, mate. I think Terry Crittenden back is...
How old is Terry Crittenden?
He was playing first grade when I was playing first grade, which was probably 7-8 years ago. And he was in his 30s then.
Were you playing first grade for Charlestown then or uni?
Charlestown.
I was saying, when you played at uni, that was about 12 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he was in his 30s
then. You've gone Stockton, I've gone City. Pool B, mate. Waratah take on Belmont, the million-dollar question, mate, at Waratah over. Will Simon Keane kit up?
Well, hopefully he is, for Belmont's sake.
Otherwise, they're going to need to find a new star batsman, a new star bowler.
I think this is going to be an entertaining game, mate.
So there will be, mate.
Darahyme is the key for Waratah again.
Darahyme will be the key, mate. He's they've got some good young players coming through there that are starting to contribute. Names escape me, but I did see one of the young blokes on debut got 40 or 50. So they had three kids on debut last week. So yeah,
wicketkeeper.
Yeah, so mate, great to see a couple
games.
What's that?
Their wicketkeeper Josh Brackenbury played his 200th club game for Waratah last week.
Oh, right. I thought you were saying one of the debutants had already played 200 games.
Oh, no.
It's like, geez, that's some experience coming in.
Yeah. I'm going to go Belmont, mate, to carry on their good...
I'm going to go Waratah with the upset, mate. At home there, Darahyme with a ton.
Right.
Next up, mate, now this one's probably the big ticket clash of the weekend. Merriweather coming off a loss. Hamwick's coming off their strong win over Cardiff at Townsend Oval, mate. Who do you like here?
Have the prestige it once had, but
there'll be no love lost, mate. They're bitter old rivals.
I'm going to go Merriweather to bounce back, mate, in a very close one.
I really think they were very unlucky last week to come up against Simon Keane and 10 other blokes. I'm going to go Hamwicks to get it done at Townsend. Though I think they might welcome back a name or two hopefully this week. So we'll wait and see. The final match, though, of the round is Cardiff versus Toronto. Scheduled for Cardiff number two, but I've seen some whispers that they might get onto Cardiff number one.
Ooh. Their ground is still out of action.
Yeah, Pasterfield is still out of action. I do understand. I saw a post in Cardiff's Facebook page saying they would need to get the covers on tonight if they wanted any chance of playing, and obviously weather dependent on whether anyone gets on this weekend. But, mate... I'm going to go with Cardiff to get the upset here. Plenty of starts there. I expect to see one or two of the players go on with that.
I'm going to go with the traditionally slow starters, Toronto, mate.
And go two from two.
I think they're going to get it done comfortably.
There you go, mate. Well, a little thing that I'm going to launch up on Sportscastle. We did obviously the wrap of the round at the end of the first grade games. This weekend, but what we're going to also launch is I'm going to do a predicted ladder for where I think they're going to finish. So for the one day comp, and then we'll go into the full season. So we'll do that based on the results, and that'll come out early in the week, just as people can sort of keep up with not only the live ladder, but where we're seeing them play out and what those permutations might mean, mate. So a little bit more content there. The next one, mate, the rep fixture on Sunday. What do you know about this one? You know it's been postponed. It's been postponed, yeah. Ground unavailabilities, apparently, so...
Also, Pricey will be at Saxon's birthday party.
Well, that's between you and Pricey, mate. But, yeah, the game has been postponed. I did see some team lists, which I can quickly run through with you for the Lake Mac Attack and the Newcastle Blasters, mate, if I can just find the tab that they're hiding in. So, yeah.
Chad and Nathan Price are the skippers.
They are, mate.
That's about as much as I know.
There is one player's position to be confirmed in the Blasters after a late withdrawal, but we've got Nathan Price is the skipper of the Blasters. They've got Bradley Aldous from West, Ben Bolcombe, who is the keeper from
Hamwicks,
Zach McGuigan
from Merivale,
Joshua Claridge,
Charlestown,
Jonty Durheim,
Waratah,
Nick Foster,
Stockton captain,
Josh Geary,
Merivale,
Peter Lozchik from West, Aaron Wivell from West, Jacob Montgomery from Wall's End. Are you sure Josh Claridge is playing with Charlestown this year?
Yep.
Because I thought Charlestown were in the Lake Mac attack pool. So you might want to check that. But it may just be that that was where the numbers fell. The Lake Mac attack side, captain, as you said, by Adrian Chad, Daniel Arms, Matthew Bench,
Charlestown,
Daniel Bailey,
Belmont,
Raoul Bakshi,
Cardiff,
Daniel Chillingworth,
Charlestown,
Jed Dixon,
Charlestown skipper,
Ryan Fenning, Griffin Lee,
Southern Lakes or Toronto workers.
Toronto workers. Nick Watkins.
Unknown.
Aaron Bills.
He's from Southern Lakes.
And Matthew Willett.
He's from Cardiff.
Yeah, so Nick Watkins, I believe, is Cardiff as well, mate. I believe he's one of their recruits this season. So they're the sides, because I believe it's Cardiff, Toronto workers, not Southern Lakes, Belmont and Charlestown that pull into... that pool. So who was the one we were checking on? Zach McGuigan.
Zach McGuigan's at Merivale. That's
Lyle's son. You said he was Charlestown, mate, a second ago?
No, Zach McGuigan's Merivale. Who was it? We said Claridge.
Claridge, sorry. All right. Let's have a look.
Simon Keane is playing for Warnervale this year, I believe, mate.
Claridge did not play for... Yes, he did. He batted four, so he must have just crossed camp. So there we go. Beautiful, mate. Good to see your knowledge is fairly up to date there.
Lucky.
But that's our Newcastle District Cricket, mate. We might move right along.
We had any nominations for Ground of the Month?
Well, it's the first week of the month, mate. We didn't have it last month.
Mate, we've number one
sports game.
I'm voting for it.
Well, mate, you can send in an email and nominate it like the process is.
What's your email?
sportscastleau@gmail.com. Mate, Man of the Week from Matt's Mowing and Maintenance. We've got four nominees this week. The first off is Sam Stone from the Malta Knights. Getting across the stripe against the Philippines. Next up, Simon Keane from Belmont District Cricket Club with his ton and his three wickets. Nathan Hudson from University, 112 not out off 77 balls. He came in at 2 for 94. They still needed 160-odd runs and steered them home in rapid-fire fashion. And Josh Westwood from Toronto Workers with four wickets and a 52. So... mate, dish out your points, your 3-2-1, and let me know what your thoughts are, because what we're going to do going forward is your 3-2-1 will count along with my 3-2-1 for the player of the summer.
Yeah, 3 points. That's your player of the week. I'd have to go to Simon Keane. 2 points to Nathan Hudson, and 1 point to Josh Westwood.
Wow. I've docked Simon Keane, mate. I'm not giving him any points because he's going back to Central Coast. So Sam Stone with one. Nathan Hudson also with two. And I've got Josh Westwood. I just think how crucial that was to their side. So what will happen there, the fact that he got a three-pointer on a dead heat of 4-4, he will be our man of the week. Mr. Josh Westwood of Toronto Workers. So hopefully he lives out that way, because I know Matt Tamale and Maintenance is based out there, mate. So... Matt will be able to come over and do some yard work for him. $50 worth, I believe. And we only have one person take it up, I think. So get out there. Utilise the sponsors. Again, a quick shout-out to those guys that do support us. Matt's Mowing and Maintenance. We've got...
Matt Lantry, Rugby League Academy.
The Rugby League Academy, Aerolax Australia, and our major sponsor, Primax Sports Tours. For all your tour and travel needs around sports or end-of-season trips, get in touch with them. Check them out on Facebook. Plenty of stuff there. Make sure to follow us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Twitter and Instagram, SportsCastleAU, SportsCastle on Facebook. Subscribe to us on Podomatic, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere else. Jared's RedTube account, something. Yeah, anything. We'll take it all. Swipe right to him on Grindr, whatever you want to do. You're four kids now. You can't be seen associating with women.
That's right.
That is right. Exactly right, mate. Well, thank you again for another very insightful display.
come into my own in the cricket.
Yeah, mate, you did. It's good. First time in a little while we've been back in the Jarrabulla studio, I think probably 5 or 6 weeks since we're up at Maitland Leagues Club.
Yeah, there's been a few, yeah.
Eric will be loving the your privacy.
Busy schedule around the globe, you know, mate.
Down in the Kurt rounds of the studios.
Next year, Taiwan or something?
Yeah, Budapest, I think. might be in Poland with Troy. But, yeah, mate, thanks again. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Again, plenty of feedback. Get on the page. Email us. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you want a sport or a team covered, let us know.
You want to come on and host with us, mate, Nick Akers?
Yeah, mate. We will thoroughly vet anyone that puts their hand up to come and host. I'm looking at you, Shane Tapper. Yeah, but, mate, thanks again. That's 34 in the books. Only 66 more to go to get our first 100. Then we've got 13 more hundreds to catch pricing.
Yeah.
All right, catch you all next week.
See ya.